This program contains adult content.
Is there a God?
A big atheist.
Really?
What, am I an idiot? Come on.
That yes, it would be nice if you could throw your sins and your responsibilities on someone else. But it's not true.
It looks like far left lunacy.
I don't believe that it's true that religion is moral or ethical.
You don't need to follow anybody!
It's not human intelligence!
If someone doesn't value logical consistency, what logical argument are you going to give them that will demonstrate that they should?
Hello and welcome to the Godless Revolution. Today is Monday, March 4th. This is episode 419. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Dan Ellis, and I'm joined by two other awesome co-hosts. We've got the whole crew together. Mr. Ryan Duffy.
Yeah, he's here.
And Mr. Taylor Grin.
Well, hello.
We're duffing and grinning. Yay!
That's the name for a bar now.
What's new with you guys? Let's start with you, Mr. Grin.
Oh gosh, I don't know how was I when we last met?
things are good. Had a haircut since then.
Actually, I think I've had a lack of haircut since then. Yeah, my barber went on vacation for a little bit, so I think I have a cut tomorrow. No, I've been good. I've very recently been playing around with AI, which has been a lot of fun. I've been really stuck with, like, not quite writer's block, but more of like analysis paralysis with a bunch of my various like personal projects for tabletop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And today I finally started playing around with Google's Gemini, which was Bard up until like a week ago or something like that.
Bard,
and it's been really fun. It's Google's answer to ChatGPT.
Oh, you mean the name of it. I thought you meant like Bard.
The name was Bard, and they've recently changed it to Gemini. I don't know why. I don't really care. But yeah,
and it's Bard been, like band as well.
No, I mean Bard, like a, you know, old-timey musician, right?
Yeah.
And now it's Gemini, I guess is what it's called, whatever, you know. There's several of them out there. This is the one that I've been playing with, but I plan to play with several of them. Because one of my coworkers is like really into learning how these things work, because I'm sure that eventually my career is going to get impacted by them. And I've mostly been playing around with like tabletop type stuff, and you know, I've been saying like, you know, imagine the Eberron campaign setting, but if it had the things from Altered Carbon where people could upload their brains, and it just like goes, it just starts fucking saying stuff, and it's crazy. It's like nothing I couldn't come up with on my own, but it just does it faster. You know, I'd be able to say like, hey, write me an adventure that's a moderate encounter for a level 2 party in Pathfinder 2 rules. And it'll just start saying like, hey, do these things, like make the difficulties around here. And most of the time it's right. Sometimes it hallucinates and uses like 5th edition stuff instead of Pathfinder stuff. And I slap it on the wrist and I'm like, hey, bad, don't do that. And it's like, okay, I'm trying to figure out the difference between these two things. but like the biggest thing is it's just speed. Like if I sat back and thought, okay, well, I want a party to do this many adventures over the course of, you know, their career, that could take me weeks to put that stuff together. And instead I can generate most of the meat and potatoes of it in a few hours, and mm-hmm. then spend more of my time filling out the actual game rule stuff, like finding what monsters to do, what the difficulty classes should be, how to do the actual game shit, instead of like having to write dialogue and monologue and descriptions of rooms and stuff like that. So it's just been a shit ton of fun.
That's what I think AI should be used for.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't know. Like I think we've had this discussion offline. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but there's been a lot of controversy in the tabletop community about using AI, especially for art, because a lot of AI that makes art derives it from looking at other artists without necessarily compensating them for their work. But like the problem is that like if I decided to pick up drawing tomorrow, you know, after several years, I would be an artist, and I would have taken a lot of inspiration from artists, uh-huh. and like I don't pay them either, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is really just an acceleration of that. And like my dad for 20 years made teeth out of ingots of porcelain. And then late aughts, somebody developed a CAD/CAM software for 3D printing teeth. And it took a process that took a single skilled artisan a week to do and made it take an hour for a computer program to do. Mm-hmm. And like my dad had to liquidate his business and do something different. Like that's technology. Like sucks. Sometimes it makes careers change or go away. Mm-hmm. And I would rather learn from that than be a Luddite. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think it's, I think we run the risk of turning it into another moral panic, right? That we run the risk of turning AI into another moral panic, that anytime any kind of new disruptive technology comes along, people will start hand-wringing and waving their arms in the air with their hair on fire, saying, oh, this is going to ruin everything. It's going to change the world, put people out of work. It's going to destroy incentives to create. It's going to stifle innovation, all that kind of crazy shit.
Yeah. And well, and I've been watching the moral panic happen in that like space, right? Mm-hmm. In the tabletop RPG space, I've been watching it happen where people are saying, oh, don't buy anything from anyone who uses AI. Like, you know, boycott any adventures that use AI art. And it's like, you're talking about people who would love to publish work. And there is a like studied phenomenon where RPG products with good art sell better than RPG products without art. And if you are not an artist and can't afford to pay an artist, somebody might never read your writing because you don't have art. And then because you get boycotted.
And then that becomes a stumbling block to people recognizing or realizing or enjoying some actually fantastic creations from people who otherwise wouldn't have made it to market.
Unless your creation is Wonka Land.
I've heard a couple different things about that, but I haven't looked into a whole lot. Just
it was entirely AI generated. The guy that apparently got called out for making it has a whole bunch of books he's tried to publish on Amazon. Every single one of them written by AI. None of them has a single star or anybody buying them. And the guy even went through the script. He's like, the guy that played Wonka. He's like, I got like a 40-page script to go through, and you can tell it's fucking written by AI.
Yeah.
Like, not even change. I mean, like they didn't even get an AI script and then go, let's modify this and adjust this to fit what we want. No, he told AI to print a script, and that's what it was. It looks
well, scary. And I can just do such cutesy fun shit. Like I did one earlier today that was tell me about Socrates' ideas of virtue, but from the perspective of a dog contemplating whether or not he is a good boy. And it was this like delightfully heartwarming little story of like a dog deciding whether or not it should bark at the mailman or steal the forbidden treats from the counter. And like it maps.
That's
or like
funny.
have a pro-trans, anti-trans debate, but make the debaters be Lisa Simpson and Bart Simpson. And it produces just this delightfully accessible fucking little script. Like, yeah.
That's funny. Well, and to say that you don't want people to use AI for any kind of creative enterprise is that's dumb. That's like saying, oh, well, when computers came around, you could make perfect circles and you could do all of this kind of stuff and use all kinds of colors and make things really fast, and that just wasn't fair to people who didn't have computers or to people who were inexperienced with them or didn't know how to use them, and it's depriving traditional artists of their work. And just like, dude,
tough
anything
shit, tell it to Gutenberg.
Well anything that I make on my computer using AI, like it's not something that I would have otherwise commissioned to an artist, right? Like I'm not telling AI to generate a picture of a basket of puppies for me that I otherwise would have gone to an artist and said, hey, can you draw this for me? Or, you know, use your computer to make this for me. Like, it's just some simple little thing that I'm doing that otherwise wouldn't have come into existence. And I'm not taking jobs from anybody. I'm not abandoning anybody's desire to create shit. Like, it's really weird to me when people freak out about new technology.
Well, they're not taking my job. I know that much.
Yeah, of putting out fires or making wood stuffs.
Well, I think there's always going to be the enjoyment of handcrafted items, no matter what they are.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So even though I can use a machine to do a lot of stuff, I mean, and even then, Like sometimes I enjoy breaking out my old fashioned hand tools and doing something completely by hand, but then I can go to my router and be like, oh, like my router can cut this little dovetail out for me in seconds versus me spending half a day fine tuning dovetails.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, I mean, it's similar with like photography, right? Where there are awesome photographers, but they also use a whole lot of automated tools to fix lighting, to change the colors of things, to remove things. And that's all AI based. That's all technology based stuff that nobody batted an eye at before, you know,
doing the photo competition.
Yeah. Before a more advanced AI came out, nobody's hair was on fire about it, or not very many people anyway. It just seems weird.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, when you were talking about Gemini and Bard, I was using Gemini on my phone in place of the regular Google Assistant for a while, and changed it just yesterday because one of the main things that I use the Google Assistant for is to run home automation stuff. My house is it's all home automated light switches and, you know, Google shit all over the place. And anytime I went to issue a command using Gemini, it said that functionality is not available in Gemini. It's like, what the fuck am I using this for, man? Like, that's the main thing that I use the Google Assistant for, and it's not operable. It doesn't have that capability yet. Like, maybe you should wait until it's ready.
Yeah. Well, and that's not the kind of stuff I use it for, but it's really great to like bounce ideas off of or say like, oh, I need like a character, like just give me a person's, you know, motives, dreams, hopes, origins, whatever, like just spin that shit up real quick. And I could sit and navel gaze over a beer and come up with like two or three good compelling ones, or I could generate, you know, a few dozen and pick the ones I like. And they're things I could have done, but now I don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, time saver. Yeah, it's just, it's another tool in the toolbox. It's not going to replace artisans and stuff like it. It's just weird. I see people freaking out about it all the time, and I'm like, calm down. It's going to be all right. What's new with you, Mr. Duffy?
Not much. I've been taking on fun projects at work. I realized, you know, government ain't going to buy what we need, so let's build it. So I went to the chief and said, hey, we got this old trailer here that we don't use. Can I build it into a hazmat decontamination shower? He's like, I don't care. We got money for that. Tell us what you need. Get all your stuff together, and we can buy the stuff and we can make it.
Nice.
I'm like, you're saying I can just do this? Like, yeah, go for it.
Like, sweet.
Oh, cool.
Woohoo. Well, that's cool.
So hopefully when NASA shows up this summer, we'll have it all done, and they'll show up and be like, what? None of the other bases are doing this. It's like, yeah, they don't have this brain.
They're not forward thinkers, man.
They're not thinking. I'm like, you wanted us to set up a super fast decon line? All I got to do is open the back door and turn the water on, and guess what? We're ready to decon your ass.
Ooh-wee.
Why did we train a carpenter to be an astronaut when we could have just trained the astronauts to do carpentry? Shut the fuck up, man.
That's awesome. We did not record last week because I was unable to record. I developed cellulitis. I had an ingrown toenail that we talked about before. And apparently that, you know, several weeks later developed into cellulitis. And I've never had cellulitis. I'd never even really known much about it. And I just had this like painful lump at the base of my calf, and it felt like a bruise, like I must have hit my leg on something pretty hard. And so then the next day, when it started, like my leg started changing color, and you know, it looked like I hit my leg on something and then was developing this giant bruise because, you know, I'd had a subdural hematoma or whatever, and it was just, you know, leaking blood inside my leg and was spreading everywhere. And so, and I've had really fucking nasty bruises like that before. Like I partially tore my hamstring and developed a bruise that went from the bottom of my ass down to my knee on my right leg, the whole width of my leg that was just black and then purple and blue and green and yellow and just the colors of the rainbow for this giant bruise. And so that's what I had figured was happening with the lower portion of my leg, you know, a couple weeks ago, and was just sitting on the couch with Tracy the other night, or not the other night, but when it happened, and said, yeah, just look at this bruise. It's really bad. And I pulled down my sock and pulled up my pant leg to show her my leg. And she's like, holy shit, no, that's not a bruise. That's just red. Like, it looks like it's infected or something. And I was like, well, what do you mean it's just red? Like, it's all different. Like, it's darker here and darker here. She's like, yeah, it's darker red there, lighter red there. There's
like,
no...
like you have blood pooling in your calf?
She's like, yeah, it's not a bruise. Like, it doesn't look like a bruise anyway. Like, it looks like it's an infection that's spreading really fast. She's like, and it reminds me, apparently she had a coworker who had an ingrown toenail and developed cellulitis afterward. And this coworker, I guess, just let it go for a couple of months and it got really bad, really infected. She ended up being in the hospital on intravenous antibiotics for quite a while. And Tracy's like, you need to see a doctor, like, right away.
Or you lose it.
Yeah. Yeah. So went in, saw the first doctor. I went to a Care Now facility just around the corner from the house. And that guy, like, barely looked at it at all. I think he heard my story about me thinking it was a bruise and just ran with it. He's like, yeah, that's probably what happened. And, you know, it just looks like a bruise. Fast forward to 2 days later, and I'm in the kitchen. And well, the next night downstairs, one of the dogs just happened to jump on my leg as they were jumping up onto the couch, and it like caused this searing amount of pain. Just like my whole body felt electric for a moment and I saw white and I was like, holy shit, that hurt. And yeah. So then the next day I get up and I'm down in the kitchen and asked Tracy to look at it again, and it's like much worse just overnight. And she's like, yeah, we need to get you in to see somebody else because that guy was wrong. Like, and I'm like, are you sure there's no, like, it's not a bruise? There's no black, there's no yellow or green or anything else. It's just red. And she's like, no, it's just red and it's hot and it's swollen.
So
we need to get you in. So then we set up a virtual appointment. And the virtual doc took a look at it and she's like, yeah, that looks like cellulitis to me. I'm going to call in a prescription for you. Start taking it. Let me know if it gets worse, if there's anything else that happens. The day after starting the antibiotic, and I haven't had antibiotics in a really long time, but the day after starting, what's that?
So what did they give you?
Keflex.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 500 milligram Keflex tablet every 4 hours or every 6 hours. I just know
a lot of people have issues with prednisone.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, I think that's isn't that a steroid?
It's a steroid, but I've had it for infections before.
Oh yeah.
Like when I had for like laryngitis, I've had it when I had my pooping issue. It was one of the parts that they gave me. They gave me an antibiotic in that when I couldn't stop shitting. I know some people have bad issues with like nightmares or just not feeling very good on it.
Oh yeah. Well, I did notice that I developed headaches, like really bad headaches later in the evening, like 3 or 4 of the 7 days that I was on it, and then looked up later and saw that that's one of the side effects or possible side effects of it. And that can last actually for a couple of months, I think it said, after you stop taking it. But I mean, I'm feeling good now. My leg looks almost back to normal. It's still a little blotchy in spaces, but yeah, holy shit. Apparently that can, like, it can kill you fairly quickly if you let it go. So yeah.
You go septic.
Oh yeah. Well, and after we got off the phone with the doctor, I got the antibiotics, took those. The next morning, you know, my leg was already looking so much better. And Tracy came down and she's like, she started crying. She's like, oh my God, I was so worried. She's like, I don't think you know how worried I was because like that spread super fast. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, I guess we know that it was cellulitis or is cellulitis for sure. Because just the day after starting antibiotics, it was half as bad as it was. Like those, they started working really fast. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you bringing up steroids just made me think, because I had a fairly bad spike in back pain, And I've never attempted to seek steroids for treatment of my back.
Oh.
And like, that might actually be a big fucking deal for me, because one, it'll reduce the inflammation, and two, help me build the fucking muscle.
Yeah. I've known people that have had issues like shoulder issues or back issues that will actually get steroid injections right into the problem area.
Yeah. Because I've got a pretty like pill slinger doctor over here, and I might be able to get him to just give me like a pack that I can just, in case of emergency, break. Thank you guys. Appreciate you. Yeah.
Hopefully that'll help a little bit, maybe. There is a ton that's been going on in the news recently. We're going to get to some of those stories when we get back from this little break.
This is Shalise Blythe with the Satanic Temple and the National Director of the After School Satan Club. For more information on how you can start a club in your area, visit afterschoolsatan.com. You are listening to The Godless Revolution.
What is more likely? That the laws of nature have been suspended in your favor and in a way that you approve, or that you've made a mistake? And in each case you must, and especially if you didn't see it yourself and you're hearing it from someone who says that they did.
Thank you to everybody who has rated the show on iTunes and Stitcher and are following us on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And to all our Patreon patrons, you make the show possible.
Welcome back, everybody. There's been... So this isn't like super recent news, but it's been fairly recent, and it's been bothering the three people on that are hosting this show for sure, as well as a ton of other people. I'll just toss things over to you, Mr. Grin.
Yeah. And up front, as I start to read the story, basically the reporting of what's going on, I really, really have to emphasize that things look really fucking bad. But also I want to be really fucking careful to emphasize that reports of assault are alleged until individuals have gone to court. And I don't want to be liable for characterizing somebody as something they haven't been convicted of for legal purposes, right?
Oh, that goes,
you could be witness shooting someone in the street and you would still be the alleged shooter.
Yep.
On camera doing this.
You have not Yeah. So on February 8th, 16-year-old Nex Benedict, a non-binary student in Oklahoma, died. Currently looks like local officials are trying to provide cover for bullies that were probably involved in Nex's death. And an Oklahoma politician did not lose an opportunity to make a total fucking ass of herself. So first, the incident. On February 7th, Nex Benedict reported being attacked by other students in a school bathroom. Their family alleges Nex was targeted specifically for being non-binary. The Owosso Police Department body cam footage shows Nex describing the fight and expressing fear of being retaliated against for going forward with charges against the students that fought with them.
Yeah. And
I watched
that whole body cam footage, and the cops seemed good about it. So like from her whole side of the story, it wasn't just her that was sitting there. It was her and some of her other friends who the other people at the school didn't quite agree with their lifestyle. And I think the way Nex had put it in the video is basically like, I just couldn't take it anymore. Like I could not take them sitting behind us, calling us these names. So she dumped her water bottle like you normally carry around, dumped the water on the girl's head. Seems pretty innocent. And that's when the girls chased her into the bathroom and proceeded to beat the shit out of her.
Right.
And that's why in the body cam video, the cop he's not telling her not to file the complaint, but he's trying to be legalese, playing judge. He's like, hey, just so you know, since you told me you dumped the bottle of water first, and that is technically a form of assault, you are just as complicit in it. And the mom was asking, well, there was like four girls that attacked her, doesn't that make a difference? And the cop basically like, it doesn't, not in the not eyes legally of the law,
anyway,
not legally. Like a judge may not see that as, you know, a good reason, because she went over there by herself, dumped the water on the one girl, and just because four other girls took part in the beating, like he's not saying it was going to happen, but he's like, hey, you could be in trouble as well. So he was kind of giving her that warning, like, you might want to be careful, but if you want to file it, I'll file it. And at the end of the video, the mom's like, yeah, I want to file it. We're filing a assault charge, and she agreed.
And like, all of that shit is well and good. The proportionality is the fucking wild part, right?
Yes.
And
yes. Agreed.
The really, truly unfortunate thing is that, like, children fucking suck. And they do not have a sense of proportionality or permanence or, you know, consequences for their actions in a more realistic and time-tested way. Mm-hmm. And so they will let something like a bottle of water being dumped on a head translate into, you know, violent aggression, physical assault. Yeah.
Off the bat, she could have chose violent aggression to go over there and hit the girl in the back of the head, but she didn't. She did what she thought was kind of innocent, probably. Like, I'm just going to dump this water on your head. Fuck you.
Or at least not super harmful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yep. And then, I mean, we could really get into like honor culture bullshit, which is the act of dumping the water itself was tantamount to a physical attack merely because of the, like, you know, dishonor that that brings in some people's bullshit deep South culture. So, yeah, you know, that's a glove across the face, right? And shouldn't be, right? Mm-hmm. But again, children are not rational creatures. Next reportedly returned home after the fight, but their condition deteriorated over the next day. The family described Next as experiencing shallow breathing and involuntary muscle movements, which are both possible signs of abnormal brain activity. They called an ambulance the next day, February the 8th, and Next was pronounced dead at the hospital later that day. The cause of Next's death is still under investigation by the Oklahoma Medical Examiner. The Owosso Police Department the medical examiners tried to claim that the fight did not lead to the death. However, Next's family disputes that claim and is pursuing an independent investigation. Now here's the really fucking shitty part. I mean, the fact that the medical examiner is trying to pull the like typical conservative bullshit of trying to make it like, you know, oh, well maybe the head injury is not related to the fight that involved a head injury the previous day.
I don't know if she was given the instructions at the hospital, but usually when you have a head injury, like a concussion, you're told to stay awake for 24 hours because you may go to sleep and not wake back up again.
Well, and one of the concerns, and this is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to add the legal disclaimer at the beginning. One of our sister shows, or like much bigger older brother shows. Oh my fucking God. Why can't I said
things in a way that might,
it's Tom and Cecil's show.
Cognitive dissonance.
Why am I brain fart? Thank you so much. Cogdis. It's 11, almost midnight my time. Cogdis, one of the things they brought up is that like it was entirely possible, you know, consider the hypothetical that that Next had some sort of like minor brain bleed as a result of a concussion, right? But that some sort of medicine like an aspirin functioned as an anticoagulant caused that minor brain bleed to be greater than it ought to have been, and that was not a prescribed medication, right? Which could cause a particularly biased medical examiner to say, well, had you not taken that aspirin or whatever, right, this brain bleed wouldn't have gotten to the point where it was lethal, which is not a great fucking argument, but it is a conceivable enough argument that could be made in court by people defending themselves against a manslaughter charge.
I would say the only way that would stand up in court, in my opinion, is if they were directed by a medical personnel not to take that medication. Because as a lay person, you're not expected to know that.
Sure. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to say what they should or should not have done. I am trying to say that for purposes of us being held legally liable, right? I'm acknowledging alternate interpretations of that don't expose us to that sort of liability, because I don't like my ass getting sued. But here's what this fucking shit stick, Senator Chaya Woods, who represents the Owosso district, made remarks offering condolences while downplaying the role of the bullying, saying, "Our focus should be on the tragic loss of a young life, not exploiting this for political gain. And also, schools should be a safe place for all students, but that doesn't mean we need to redefine the very concept of gender identity to appease a vocal minority."
So it's a safe place besides that 0.5%.
Right, right. And that's the fucking wild thing. Like, this needs to be a political situation because it is the presence of things like these fucking conservative bathroom bills that have caused this to be an issue fucking at all.
Yeah.
Like, if we had things like gender neutral bathrooms or
I don't give a fuck where you piss.
Fucking
as long as it's in a toilet or a urinal, go. Just not in the flower pot.
But if there was not this pressure from conservatives to create an outgroup, a new outgroup for them to attack, since they've lost the war against gay folks, there would not be violence against people in bathrooms.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And they've only lost the fight with gay folks on the one stand they can get married, which,
right,
according to some of our Supreme Court judges, they would like to revisit that. Fuck you.
Yep.
But yeah, I agree. It's 100% political. If you're passing laws that denigrate these people, of course it's fucking political. Where do you think these kids get the idea that they're allowed to even say the shit they're saying about those students? For one, family, but also because laws are being passed against them. Our laws are allowing you to treat them as a second class person. Which means get out and fucking vote. Fucking vote.
Yes. you absolutely need to do that. And don't vote for fucking Republicans, okay? Because it's just, and don't vote for a third party person. I mean, there are some specific
local and they have a legit chance.
I was gonna say there are some chance. Yeah, there are some specific small cases in local races where an independent or third party candidate could possibly win, but at the national scale,
we're not there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, until we have something like ranked choice voting, if you are even in the direction of considering voting third party, what I want you to do, listener, please, is go seek out this YouTube guy. His name is CGP Gray. And he has this fantastic video where he explains what's called first past the post voting, which is the system that we have. It means if you have 50% plus one of the vote for your system, and then the winner takes all, mathematically, it becomes a certainty that eventually that competition over limited resources, votes, translates to a two-party system. And any vote that you make for a third party, even if it is aligned with your political values, your vote for that third party is going to translate to the net effect of a greater proportion of victory for the opposing ideology. And that's just math. Like, until we have a ranked choice voting system, the math does not support your position. And as much as you want your like protest vote to punish the Democrats or something for whatever your pet issue is, you will almost certainly be leading to more pain and suffering for the very people. And like, let's be real, the almost certainly more fringe cause that you're trying to protest about, than just by, voting for what has been probably the most progressive president in American history. And I'm going to be really blunt, right? If you're worried about Biden's age, consider the fact that most of his cabinet will not change if he dies and his vice president takes over. But you'll go back to Betsy fucking DeVos in the education department if you elect Trump.
I'm going to be much worse than Betsy DeVos. Like, it's going to be nothing but absolute Trump loyalists and bootlickers in the administration. They've already made that very, very clear with Project 2025 that we need to
we should do an
talk
episode
about. Yeah,
we should consider trying to get like Andrew Seidel or something on for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know how in Russia if you put out anything on Facebook saying that you support Ukraine or you were a supporter of Navalny, you were rounded the fuck up. I could see that very much being the same thing in the US, being like, oh, we can see on their social media, they do not like me. So I want them put away. Basically said that in not so many words.
But that being said, if you're okay with it, Dan, it looks like you've got a pretty good write-up on this IVF situation. And that is something that I am not terribly educated on.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Remember, we said this was going to happen.
Yeah.
We said we predicted this was going to fucking happen.
Yep.
And it fucking is happening.
Yeah, because conservatives, their goal, like, they were never going to just stop with a cookie, right? You give a mouse a cookie, he's going to come back. They're not going to fucking stop with trying to ban abortion. They're now attacking IVF. And they're so fucking confused about how women's bodies work. Even women who have used IVF, Nikki fucking dumbass Haley, who don't know what the fuck they are talking about when they make these decisions for other people. Like, if you don't want to have an abortion, don't get a fucking abortion. Don't tell somebody else that they cannot get one because your God says that they cannot. I don't fucking care what your God says about it. Fuck you and fuck your God. It makes me really mad. You, if you want to see somebody get really fucking fiery about this, somebody who, you know, has occasional bursts of anger, but for the most part is one of the most even-keeled people I know, get Tracy talking about abortion, IVF, and just conservatives' views on anything about that. She'll yell at you for a solid hour and want to go longer because it's fucking maddening.
So I will say right off the bat, I think the laws they passed, they are so short-sighted. They did not see the outcome being the way it is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, like, I imagine it's, I didn't read through your whole thing, but we can go through your stuff and you'll probably get to the thing I'm thinking of.
Well, and it's, I mean, that's a big part of it for sure, that they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about, right? They know that they don't like abortion because they think it makes baby Jesus cry. Not at all considering the fact that if the accounts of the Bible were true, if God existed, if Jesus existed, like, their little cabal of shit would have been the biggest abortion providers, the biggest, you know, infanticide inflictors in the history of humankind. Like, they are, according to their own fucking scriptures, Christians, the people the Christians worship are the worst at this kind of thing, right? They encourage, not only encourage, but insist, demand that infants be ripped from their mothers, that they bash their skulls on the rocks. Like, all kinds of fucking horrible shit like that, that the you know, average everyday Christian is too fucking stupid or ignorant or blind to see in the first fucking place. It's really maddening. One of the cool things that I've learned throughout this, and I actually learned this from Tracy, is that women are born with all of the eggs that they will ever have.
Right? You didn't know that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Like, did you think it was like sperm?
Sort of. I thought maybe they develop later. Yeah, like that in my head, because I'm a guy and I don't have to fucking deal with this shit, right? I have the privilege of not having to know this kind of thing. I thought that, that eggs, like, you develop them later or they matured later, but, like, no. Yeah. When you...
That's why women develop menopause.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I did not know that in the womb, even as the embryo is developing into a fully formed human that will eventually be born, that fetus, if it's a girl or if it's a woman, is... they have all of the, and I'm sorry, I stumble over a lot of these terms lately because I try to be very trans inclusive. So I always wrestle with, should I say person or woman or whatever? Well, anyway,
you can be born female and not have ovaries.
This is true. Yeah. Or you assigned can be born female at have birth.
Internal testes.
Yeah.
You can be born female and then later in life develop male genitalia.
Yeah.
There's more than two sexes out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Genetically.
Yeah. But it was like, it's one of those things that, you know, can get Tracy very misty-eyed. Just the realization that while she was carrying Danica, she was also carrying our granddaughter, basically. Like because Danica in Tracy's womb was developing her own eggs that would eventually become Danica's child and our grandchild. Yeah. So you're, you know, as a grandmother, grandmothers carry their granddaughters.
That's a, I never even thought about it that way. That is a crazy way to fucking think about it. And it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Just totally wild. Like, so, so I asked Copilot about this to give me a synopsis because like I said, Tracy will yell at you for an hour. So I used an AI tool by asking it a question and it gave me a very nice summary. This is from Microsoft's Copilot, which is based on ChatGPT-4. It says that a woman's eggs, also known as oocytes, begin their development before she's even born. Some fascinating facts about the formation of eggs is that during embryonic development, around 8 to 20 weeks after conception, cells that will eventually become mature ova, her eggs, start multiplying. And then by the time a female is born, all the egg cells that her ovaries will ever release during her reproductive years are already present in the ovaries. And as a fetus in early development, a baby girl with ovaries has approximately 6 million eggs. That's a lot of eggs.
It doesn't mean they're going to ovulate 6 million times, though.
No, for sure. And part of that is that by the time of birth, most of those mature egg cells have died, leaving the baby girl with between 1 and 2 million eggs.
Don't worry, you're not going to ovulate 1 to 2 million times either.
As far as puberty and egg activation goes, the menstrual cycle doesn't start at birth because it's on hold until puberty. Puberty begins when the hypothalamus in the brain produces gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH. GnRH then stimulates the pituitary gland to produce follicle-stimulating hormone, FSH, which initiates egg development and causes estrogen levels to rise. And then menstruation typically starts about 2 years after the appearance of breast buds. That's the tissue that eventually develops into breasts.
I thought those were really close friends.
You're my breast buds. By the time a girl reaches puberty, she has between 300,000 and 400,000 eggs due to the loss of more than 10,000 eggs each month before puberty.
Are you saying every time a woman ovulates, she kills 10,000 babies?
Eggs anyway. Yeah. Like potentials. Once the follicles mature, they become sensitive to the hormones of the monthly menstrual cycle. And then every month, the body selects a group of eggs as contenders to ovulate. Only one egg becomes the dominant follicle and is ovulated that month, representing the woman's one chance to conceive.
So 10,000 cells enter, one leaves.
Yes, well, we're a bunch of men.
And it's one of those things where, you know, if this is the design, if a human body was created by a designer, by a creator, that's a shitty fucking design, right? Like, you, as the creator, would have engineered it so that you had, I don't know, how many kids do you ever want to have? You want to have, I'll give you up to 20 kids. You can have up to 20 kids. We're giving you 20 eggs. They're going to be protected. You'll only, like, the only time they'll ever come out is when you want to. Like, this is fucking stupid. Well, and
if God knows everything, he knows when you're going to do the deed. So he's like, I know. March 4th at 8:50, semen's coming.
Well, and this is just a great indicator of the notion that we have evolved as a species, right? Because we, like, women start out with, what, up to 6 million eggs?
Million.
Like, that's entirely wasteful. Either God is an, if God exists, he's either a fucking idiot or he's just hugely wasteful, right? Doesn't fucking care about it.
The Bible is terrific. Give it a read. It's got monsters and adventures and... And hey, if you like torture porn, check out the Old Testament. Oh, man. Any Saw fans out there? Woo! Get the Old Testament.
Hi, I'm Lucian Greaves, spokesperson and co-founder of the Satanic Temple. Check out my website, grayfaction.org, if you want to be disgusted and alarmed. You're listening to Godless Revolution.
If you have questions, comments, concerns, compliments, corrections, criticisms, or concepts for content, contact the show via email at godlessrevolution@gmail.com, by text or voicemail at 330-81-REBEL, or Twitter the twatter at TGR Podcast. Thank you!
Could that come from us being, like, fish? I'm just going with that, like, way back, because when you, like, a fish, when they lay eggs...
Lots and lots and of them.
They come and they, it's a lot of them. It's a whole shitload of eggs
mm-hmm.
that then come and have the semen laid on top of them, and they all get their little impregnated and they all leave. But is that part of something our body holds on to through evolution, is producing so many eggs and rid of so many eggs each month?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That this is a good indicator that this, you know, we are an evolved species.
This way.
Yeah. That's how we came to be what we are, is this messy process of evolution that leaves behind these remnants that are hugely wasteful, but ultimately beneficial to us in the long run. It's really fucking weird to me that when people say that evolution isn't a fact, or that, you know, if we came from monkeys, why is there still monkeys? You fucking dummy. Only one egg becomes the dominant follicle, and as I said, is ovulated that month, representing the woman's one chance to conceive. And then just a woman is born with all the eggs that she'll ever have, and their development begins long before she takes her first breath. The remarkable processes ensure the continuation of life and the possibility of future generations. Conservatives don't know this shit. I didn't know it, and I'm a pretty fucking progressive guy. And it's because, like I said, I have had the privilege of not needing to know it.
Yeah. See, I've known the numbers. I've known that women are born with all the eggs they'll ever have. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the numbers that they start off with and go through life and how, you know, how many they actually have. I actually thought they just had, you know, each month only one egg was fertile. And that was it. Not that they're just 10,000 sitting there and they're picking the best one out of that 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But on the abortion. Well, I guess they're not abortions. They're the laws they're passing against
IVF,
fertile eggs.
Yeah.
In these states, and considering it mm-hmm. a viable fetus. Like one case I saw where they're like, we don't want to do work anymore because what if we're transporting eggs mm-hmm. from one facility to another, and our cryo machine breaks down and renders all those eggs dead. Are we now legally liable because we lost that shipment?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, and it scared the shit.
We aborted all of them.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of IVF clinics and providers, because they're told now that an embryo is basically granted personhood. That is an unborn human being, and that its destruction. What does that mean if its destruction comes about, or you need to store it,
like, or on purpose?
Yeah,
which really fucking, like, it brings me back to what is probably my favorite anti-abortion activist hypothetical scenario, which is you find yourself in a burning IVF facility.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you only have the free use of one hand with which to pick something up. And in front of you is a cooler stocked with thousands of fertilized embryos that will absolutely be saved from the fire should you remove it.
Mm.
Or a single puppy. Which one do you save from the fire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I save the puppy no matter if there's a human or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that most people intuitively will think, I'm going to save the fucking puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'd seen this drawn out in a cartoon just the other day. Like, you know, like you got the four little pages of the cartoon and it starts off with a woman is out a window yelling to a firefighter on the street and like, help me, help me. And the firefighter yells up, send out the embryos first.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you fucking serious?
Don't you do kick your legs back? Like,
so, and then it says like IVF clinic above it. So like there's fire coming out the window behind the lady and They're yelling to save the IVF, the embryos first.
Yeah. Well, the Alabama ruling from the Alabama Supreme Court said that Alabama couples who lost frozen embryos during an accident at a storage facility could sue this fertility clinic and the hospital for wrongful death of a minor child, because some fucking moron was at the clinic wandering around for some reason, went into a cooler where they were storing these embryos, reached in, grabbed out a bunch of them, and they're stored at sub-freezing temperatures, realized how cold it was, dropped them, and then literally smashed the hopes and dreams of however many people's embryos are now lying on the floor and are no longer viable.
But even people that go through IVF, and I got a buddy that listens to the podcast, he knows who I'm talking about. Hi. him and his wife, it took several rounds of IVF for it to even take for them to have their second kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a guarantee. Yeah. So if they implant and it doesn't take, is that killing? Or since it had a chance inside her, is that good? Like, what is considered the destruction? Like, okay, it was here in the Petri dish, but after we implanted, it didn't take.
And I want to be really careful here. Like, I'm not trying to be stochastic, but I really hope that the circumstance arises where, like, just an entire fucking IVF facility burns down so that somebody can attempt to press the charges of, like, 100,000 deaths or something like that.
Here's the thing.
Merely to point out the absurdity of the whole situation.
They could, if an IVF clinic loses power and their backup power fails, they're dead.
Right.
And that has happened. That has happened.
I guarantee historically. It happened where they've lost.
Yeah. No, I read stories earlier while prepping for today's episode that has actually happened.
Underneath this law, they are now criminally liable for the death of all those embryos.
Uh-huh.
So who the fuck would want to run a clinic there?
Yeah. The other point of this is that so first, setting aside that when the Alabama Supreme Court handed down this decision, it immediately put a halt on a bunch of IVF treatments in the state of Alabama.
Oh yeah,
because it's not something that you just wander in one day and say, oh yeah, I want to have an IVF procedure done, and you're in and out. No, there's months and months of taking hormones, of getting prepared, of shots, of getting the eggs, and then fertilizing them, growing them into an actual embryo, storing them, and then getting your body prepped for it, paying all of the money associated with this, going to all of the classes, going to all of the appointments. And then on the day that this decision is handed down, however many couples that had their appointment scheduled that fucking day to go in and have their embryos implanted are told, no, sorry, you've spent years of your life and tens of thousands of dollars trying to get this taken care of. And now the Alabama Supreme Court is saying no. And you can tell how fucking stupid and ignorant people are, based not only on shit coming out of Nikki Haley's mouth, but on the mouth, but coming out of the mouth of fucking Tommy Tuberville. Did you guys see the little clips of somebody approaching him? Yeah, somebody, there's a gaggle of reporters around him, and somebody asks him what he thinks about the Alabama Supreme Court's decision, basically declaring that embryos are people. And he's like, I think this is a good idea. I was always in favor that we got to make sure that, we have as many children as people want, and that we need to have more children. I think this is just a blessing. Some shit like that, right? And then another reporter says, asks him the question, okay, so what do you tell the families, the couples who were hoping to have more children who now cannot, because they're being restricted because these facilities are terrified now and have denied their further IVF treatments? Oh yeah, well, that's a tricky one, that right there. Because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Well, and the thing is too, is I've from a short article I read, just because you're having IVF done in your state doesn't mean the clinic holding your
Ryan froze on us.
Your eggs and your embryos is in that state. Uh-oh, did I glitch?
Yeah, you glitched a minute there. You're back.
Okay. Yeah. I saw you guys pause too. And then I heard you say something. I reset my internet before coming down here too. So I was saying that I was reading that because, okay. So you can be in Kentucky and going through IVF. It doesn't mean the clinic holding your eggs is in Kentucky all the times. It could be somewhere else because it costs a lot of money. Keep these things in their cryo state. So if the clinic holding your stuff in their cryo stuff is in Alabama, guess what? They're not doing business anymore because they don't want to take the risk.
Just for kicks, as we're winding down on this one, I'll just make my deliberately inflammatory comment, which is all you gross breeders just need to adopt. You don't need IVF.
Well, and just this court's decision creates so many other problems. For example, let's say that a couple is going through IVF treatment. They have a couple kids. They've still got, I don't know, a dozen embryos, because not every embryo is going to implant is going to attach to the uterine wall, is going to eventually become a child, because miscarriages still happen. Sometimes it just doesn't fucking implant at all. And so you have a bunch of embryos stored for possible implantation in case, you know, a bunch of them fail. And so let's say that a couple goes in, has IVF treatments, they have a couple kids from it, and then they've still got all of these embryos stored, and they get a divorce. What happens to those embryos that are being stored?
Even if they don't, they had the one they wanted. They don't get divorced. And like, we're done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then what do they do with them? They can't just dispose of them. I read an article earlier today that says there are thousands and thousands of abandoned, like tens of thousands, embryos, if not hundreds of thousands.
Abandoned babies?
Of abandoned embryos, because the couple either gets divorced or cannot any longer pay for the storage fees for these embryos, or the clinic shuts down. Like, what happens in those cases? There are so many that are just abandoned now that clinics don't know what to do with them. And especially now in Alabama, where they could potentially be charged with manslaughter, murder, a myriad of other things that the Alabama Supreme Court would consider ending a person's life. Those clinics are fucking terrified now. What do they do? Is Alabama going to pay for permanent storage of these? Are they going to force women to be implanted with somebody else's embryo? Like, what the fuck, man?
Actually, I think that's their goal.
I have a business plan involving a Denny's and a lot of people not asking questions.
Like, it's just... And the fact, I downloaded the court's decision and scanned through it. I was hoping to read it, but it's fairly lengthy. I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing. But I just did a quick search through this document. The word God is mentioned in this 41 fucking times. The Alabama Supreme Court justice who issued the ruling is a Christian dominionist. He believes in the seven pillars or the seven mountains, that Christians need to take over these seven portions of American life and turn America into a fucking religious right-wing fucking hellscape. It's maddening that people who believe in an invisible fucking sky wizard are dictating to women what they can and cannot do with their own bodies.
Speaking of that, can I give you a number real quick?
Yes.
64,565. Can you guess what that number means?
I haven't seen Rent in like 20 years.
No, that would be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be a better outcome than what the number actually represents.
Oh, what is the number?
What's that number represent?
That number represents the amount of pregnancies that have occurred due to rape in states that have a total ban after Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gonna
good
force
news.
Those,
thank you.
Yeah, wow. gonna force those women to bear the fruit of their rapist, because that's what Jesus would have wanted.
And those were just women that were raped between the ages of 14 and 45.
Oh my God.
Well, but, you know, if it's a legitimate rape, the body has a way of shutting that down. Right?
Shutting that whole thing down, yeah.
That is not biology.
Yeah.
New listeners, I'm referencing some conservative from a decade ago now.
Todd Akin.
It was more recent than that he said that.
It was
during the whole Roe v. Wade thing. I thought he said it.
It was 2021.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. October of 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Todd Akin. Reached the age where the 90s are 10 years ago, and also anything before COVID was 10 years ago. And
yeah, the quote from Todd Akin is, "If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down." Aside from being wildly fucking inaccurate, like not at all what happens, to say that if it's a legitimate rape, what the fuck is a legitimate rape, Mr. Akin?
Well, she said no, but didn't mean it.
Oh my God. These conservatives are ruining fucking everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The body knows if you say no and you mean it. The body knows if you fake the no.
Yeah. We have reached the end of the episode. Before we go, though, I want to end on a good piece of information, a good note. That is to say that the country of France is the first country on the face of the fucking planet to put in its constitution that women are allowed, that they've codified access to abortion in the French constitution. That's awesome. We need to do that.
Was there religious dominion there?
No, oddly enough, you know, it's a much more secular country than the United States. Oh, so
they don't have religious dominion over their laws.
Yeah.
I'm going to start another fight that they've got the better model of church-state separation. Come at me.
Well, I don't think we're going to disagree at this point.
No disagreement from this guy. But that does end where we're going to end up a little bit over time. Sorry, everybody. That's just I could go on for quite a while about this. I read so much and I'm just so dismayed at how fucking far behind we are in every regard, every advancement in the civilization of humanity because of some fucking dipshit's view of what they think their God wants for other people.
But Dan, you know where we are exceeding? Weapons.
We've got
the best weapons in the world.
Oh, the most advanced, the most deadly.
We really do. Knife missiles are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lethality is through the roof. It's just good news as far as weapons producers are concerned.
Got some good ones.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Before we go, I want to make sure that we thank our Patreon peoples because they keep the show going. I appreciate them ever so much. That would be Just Anti-Pro-Fascist.
Build a Skeptic Workshop.
Kevin Shiel.
Crucify the like button, leave a review on iTunes, and rate the show 5 times a day towards Celia Gray.
Steve Kuno.
Sinead Duffy.
Tiffany Hudson.
John McCullough.
Ollie Olson.
Vanessa.
Two Skeptical Chaps.
Steven Andrus. Ha! Sorry.
Savid Akuna.
Corey
jumping in now.
We're just going with it. We're just going. First come, first serve.
Okay. Corey Ebert.
Martina Fern.
Not Franz Kafka.
Jonathan.
Error 404. God not found.
Marvin Draken.
Don't be a Richard.
McKenz Peterson.
All hail, Peanut Butra.
Jeremy Goodson.
Utah Outcasts.
Wesley Aaron.
Hersinian.
Amber Krellen.
Sarah Segovia.
Theodore Sellen.
Janet Uter.
Purple Dragon.
And Tim Jacobson. Thank you all very, very much. If you, dear listener, would like to become a Patreon patron, you can do so very easily by going to patreon.com/godlessrevolution, where you can contribute as little as $1 per episode, and then you get all kinds of fun stuff. You get extra episodes every now and then. You get clips from the cutting room floor. We'll have one of those in today's episode, talking about other stuff off air that we decided we'll throw in there as part of that.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too artificial.
You get the episode before anybody else. You get a song at the end, and we get to read your name, and you get the knowledge that you're helping us keep the show going, and the expressing how much you like the show and how much we like you for doing that. So thank you very much. I'm going to go talk to Tracy and see if she'll yell at me about how stupid anti-abortion people are.
Ooh.
Mm. I think I'm going to go sleep, but in Italian.
I don't think Sarah's home yet, so dinner's not ready. And that's not a sexist thing. She said she was going to cook dinner tonight.
Oh, Ryan.
Not a sexist thing. She thought Ryan. She was going to be home. Actually, is she home? I don't know. I could check the cameras. I don't think she's home yet.
Well, thank you, guys. Love you very much. Nice chatting with you. I will do that next week.
All right.
Love you, guys.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Lots in the news.
If you're going to hang out, you got to shut up, Kat.